Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Missy AE show. Tonight, we bring to you the top 10 Survivor seasons of all time. That's right, we've done the men, we've done the women, now we're going to do the top 10 Survivor seasons of all time. Obviously, I'm not Jim. Jim is running a little late tonight, so he will be joining us momentarily. If you guys want to call in and discuss the top 10 Survivor seasons of all time, you can call in at 657-383-1308. Once we get Jim in here, obviously he will take over as host. The chat room is open. I believe we have Melissa currently on the line right now. Melissa, we've done the top 10 males and the top 10 females so far, and there seemed to be more debate going around when it comes to the top 10 females as opposed to the males. We had a lot tougher time digging through the top 10 women, so kind of thinking maybe perhaps seasons may sort of fall under that same category.
For seasons, you mean?
Yeah, for seasons. In terms of how hard, you know, how hard it's going to be to come up with a top 10 seasons list.
Well, I've got my top 10. I don't know. I may change my mind as we go along, but I've pretty much got them down. Yeah,
it's definitely, I mean, I have at least my top three in no particular order, you know, that I know are definitely going to be in my top three, but the rest of them, quite frankly, you know, it's very hard to narrow down when, you know, there are obviously several qualities season brings in, you know, whether it's an exciting season, if it's an exciting season, you know, if there are certain gameplay moves that are made that stick out, you know, whether this season presented, you know, specific characters to the show, you know, there's a whole bunch of qualities that you can actually look for in this, you know, in these rankings.
Yeah, you know me though. I'm gonna go with my favorites. My favorites, that is my favorites. But anyway.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we know how last week turned out with some of the lists that we came up with. But I think we can all kind of agree though that maybe perhaps Winners at War is nowhere near the top 10.
Nah.
Considering all of the
it's probably in the top 10, but not the top 10.
I mean, you take a look at that season. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's probably there towards the bottom, like 9 or 10.
Yeah, because I was sort of thinking, you know, myself, you take a look at Winners at War in particular, and the fact that it brought in all of these, all of the past winners, you know, 20 of the past winners, and it also included The Edge of Extinction. JB, I have added you onto the call here. Jim is running a little late, so I'm stalling right now so that he can end up calling in as quickly as he's able to. JB, did you happen to get a hold of Eddie tonight?
I texted him. I didn't get a chance to call him.
Oh, well, because I know one thing. He probably would have absolutely loved to have been on the top 10 men and top 10 women's lists with, you know, his expertise in the edit, if you would. I know there's definitely a lot of you know, a lot of stuff that he could have provided, a lot of insight that he could have provided. It would have been very intriguing, I think, to see his top 10 lists, considering how all of us each put out a different list. You know, considering the fact that Eddie focuses mainly on the edit for the most part, it would have been very interesting to see what he would have come up with a top 10.
Hey, real quick, Banz, I texted him maybe half an hour ago. What I'm going to do is get off here and I'll give him a call and then call back in.
Okay.
And I'll, you know, give you the update. But I'll call back in within, geez, 5-10 minutes.
All right, that sounds good.
Okay.
All right, now, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Winners at War. you know, considering the fact that even though it presented the top 20, you know, 20 of the best winners to have ever played the game, in my opinion, I think one of the things that kind of drags away from it is the fact that I think Edge of Extinction definitely plays, you know, a huge factor when it comes to it potentially not being, you know, a top 10 season, because obviously CBS, they wanted to do all they could to bring the, to keep the winners there as long as possible. But, you know, when it comes to actual gameplay, the gameplay really didn't start until the Sandra booth, which was, what, at the halfway point, pretty much?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, sidetracked a little, Steve. I got sidetracked a little bit. My cat was having a nightmare in her sleep, and she was making all kinds of noise, and it scared me because I thought she was stroking out or something. Anyway, which season were we talking about?
Winners at War. I was just
okay.
You know, I was talking about how the fact that Edge of Extinction may play a big factor in people's decisions if they're looking at a season like Winners at War. I mean, I understand, you know, CBS had to do all they could in order to, you know, keep people interested in the
yeah.
show, but not just keep people interested, but, you know, the fact that everybody wants to see a former winner, a group of former winners in there, and the fact that, you know, Edge of Extinction was implemented into it, it kind of took away from the importance, if you would, of the actual season. Let's see. I have re-added JB, and I believe he was able to get a hold of Eddie. I believe that's his area code. Eddie, that you?
That's me.
All right.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good news.
We're good.
I'm hanging in there. My little dog is keeping me young.
Jim
hey, Steve,
is running
who
bit
all
late,
do we have on here now?
Well, what's the consensus now? What's the at least the top five that y'all come up with?
Well, we haven't even we're waiting on Jim right now, actually, to actually start our rankings, because Jim is running a little late. I told him that I would
she was making
that
a
I'd
really
start up the
weird
show.
Well, thank you. That was so nice of you.
But Eddie, we missed you for the top 10 men and the top 10 women. Have you had
I'm
a chance
sorry,
to listen back to those?
I was having such a rough time.
Have you had a chance at all?
What were the top 10 men and top 10? What was the top man? Tony?
Yeah, the top man was Tony, and the top woman was, I believe, if I recall correctly, Parvati.
Parvati.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you'd be an idiot not to put those two at the top.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, that makes sense.
I would have loved to have heard your top 10 for the men and women, because I know how you focus a lot on the edit. And the fact that, you know, we based our rankings on a lot of things, you know, likability factor, how good of a player they were, you know, their respective finishes, wherever they ended up finishing in all the seasons that they played, you know, there was a lot that went into the rankings, and I kind of thought, you know, that if you happen to join us these last 2 weeks, the fact that, you know, you're so much into the edit, I would have loved to have heard your thoughts on who you would rank as your top 10 men and top 10 women.
Yeah, they didn't have to just be winners, right?
No. It could have been not. We had a couple of non-winners actually. We had like, for example, I believe for the men, I forget exactly what positions, but we had Colby, we had Coach. I believe we had, did Penner sneak in, JB or Melissa?
I think somebody else snuck in. I think he did.
Hope he definitely should have been in.
Yeah.
That man is an incredible player. And what about Sheree? Did y'all put her in there?
Yes, she was in the top ten of the women.
Well, thank you, baby Jesus.
Did we put in who?
Sheree.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yep. She was in there.
Yeah.
But
I guess we're gonna
have to do
the top villain next.
Well, I think we all know who that is. I don't think there's any. Well, actually, no, there is. I take that back. There could be some serious competition for top villain because, I mean, hell, obviously the biggest one of all is Russell, but, you know, Tony was a pretty big villain in Cagayan. At least he was portrayed as a villain during Cagayan. You know, there's obviously Johnny Fairplay, who, hell,
definitely.
He faked his grandmother's
God.
Death.
Really? And all the shit he's done since then.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, that we could, if we were ever to do a top 10 villains list, that could be in consideration for the potential number one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But
well, I have to tell you, y'all made my week when you announced the cast for 41, because I hadn't been able to find anything.
Well,
I think there was only nine so far, right? But it still, you know, it was like, it made my night. I was only, yeah, you're right. It was only a few, but I was in 7-7.
I'm kind of curious to see if this Sydney Seagal was injured while she was playing.
Wow.
Or if it was something that happened after.
Well, I didn't know about that.
All right, guys, hang on. Hang on 1 second. Everybody, let me bring in the host of the Missy AE podcast and our rankings. Without his help, none of these podcasts will be possible. Everybody, welcome Jim to the line.
Hey, Jim.
How y'all doing?
Hey there, Mr. Jim. The host
y'all
with
doing
the
okay?
Host. Definitely.
Good,
you made my
good.
Week this week.
Y'all ready to rank some seasons?
Hey, we're ready to rank some seasons.
All right, I've been busy out in the yard today. My yard guy is out here. I've been sitting on his tailgate with him, talking about stuff to do in the yard. I'm gonna let him tell y'all hello.
Hello, how you doing, sir?
Hey, how you doing?
Nice to meet you.
How's it going?
That's my yard guy, Timmy.
Hey, Timmy. It's a pleasure.
Hey, how you doing?
We're all doing,
how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'm doing fine, huh?
That's Eddie.
How you doing, Mr. Eddie?
Oh, I'm in heaven. Jim spoiled this week, and it made my week.
Made your week. Yeah.
No, I gave him some information about the next season of Survivor. And I do have more information, too, about some of them, but I guess we'll save that for the cast analysis podcast that we'll do. But I do have information on some of them. I did tease how well one of them does and how one of the females do, but we'll save all that for another night. Tonight we're going to figure out the top 10 seasons of all time.
Sounds good.
Who all we got on here, Steve? I hear JB, Melissa, and Eddie.
Yeah, that's who we have so far, and we have Tim in the chat room right now.
Tim in the chat room. I'm sure Teresa will be calling in pretty soon too.
Yeah, and I'll be of course keeping an eye out for Kansas if she ends up calling in, because she knows from last week's show that we are doing one this week. So,
yeah, Kansas will probably call in too, because a lot of people, you know, I thought doing the females was going to be the hardest, but it seems like a lot of people think doing the seasons is going to be even harder.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
There's definitely a lot of room for movement, basically, not just, you know, in the top three, but all throughout the entire list. I mean, I don't even have a list. I never come into this with a list.
I kind of have thoughts in my mind as to who.
Yeah.
It's kind of like with the women and the guys. I kind of know who my top three or four are, but everything else is left wide open.
Yeah, exactly. That as I said at the beginning of the show tonight. You know, I have a pretty good idea of who would be in my top three, you know, just not necessarily in the exact order, because, I mean, obviously, you know, to most fans, if you're a diehard fan of this show and you've seen every single season, you know, there's three specific seasons that probably stick right out like a sore thumb. So
yeah.
Probably
right.
Even four, actually.
And the thing about it, it's going to be very opinionated again, because people are going to have their own thoughts for their own reasons. You may rank a season really, really high because one of your favorite players may have won. You may rank a season low because you feel like one of your favorites got screwed over. You may rank a season low because of crazy twist, or you may like it and rank it high. You may rank it high because of location. If you think back before they started staying in Fiji, we had a lot of different locations that were fun to watch. So there's a whole lot of things that will go into people's decisions, I think.
Yeah, in particular, I know one thing that'll definitely stick out. We were talking about this before you came on tonight, Jim. The first season I had started out with was the most recent season of Winners at War. You know, even though there were 20 former winners, you know, gameplay didn't really pick up until the Sandra boot. And
right.
Quite frankly, you know, one thing you can kind of say is that having Edge of Extinction on the season sort of took away a bit of the importance of the season, of
yeah.
It being an all-winner season.
Right, but then another fan may like that because it kept, you know, maybe it kept a couple of their favorites around all season and gave them a chance to get back in. So that's the whole dilemma. What are you going to base it on? You know, what are you basing your decision on? Are you basing it on
True.
Overall gameplay for a season? Or are you basing it on, well, my guy got screwed, or, oh, yeah, my girl won? I mean, it just depends on what you're looking for. I mean, we had people last week admit that they were voting for favorites, you know, who they like.
Yeah.
Yep, that was me. Yep.
Good for you.
I didn't call your name, Melissa. I didn't mention no names.
I know. You let me have it last week, though.
Hey, I'm with you.
But it's hard. It's hard not to do. You know, it's hard not to do.
We all got our favorites.
Anytime we do polls or whatever, it's hard. It's almost not even worth me telling people, don't pick your favorite, pick the best player, because I know they're not going to listen to me.
Yeah, really.
But
so,
I think y'all were pretty right with what Steve said. I think you're right about who you pick.
I think both weeks so far we have come up with a very good top 10 for the males and the females, and I think we'll come up with a good list tonight. Because you throw everybody's opinions out there, and of course some are going to vote for their favorites, and some are going to try to vote for strategy, and some are going to try to vote for the best season. And when you throw it all together and you mix it up and you tally it up, you come up with a pretty good list.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, and you know, I told Eddie this when he joined tonight that we would have loved to have had him on here the past 2 weeks, considering the fact that he also takes the edit into account for considering he's our edit expert. You know,
yep, that's why we call him Eddie Edit.
I would have loved to have seen his top 10 lists for both men and women, because considering the variety of lists that we got out of all of us, you know, Eddie's, who knows what his would have been, considering the fact that he does go that extra mile and put the edit into account.
Well, it would have been a different perspective, you know. It would have been good to have.
I think y'all did damn good, though, with your choices. I thought it was great what you were telling me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, automatically I said Parvati. She's the best female player that's ever played. And secondly,
I said
Tony. So I think
I kind of thought that was going to be a no-brainer, and it ended up pretty much being a no-brainer. She kind of blew everybody away, which I think she deserves. You know, I think she's the best that's ever played as far as a female goes, because she can do it all. She's great at challenges. She's great at strategy. She can flirt if she needs to. She's the total package.
She really is. And she's gracious. She's a damn good game player. Even if she doesn't make it, she has such charm and grace.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Parvati.
Parvati.
Okay. That's who I thought, but wasn't for sure.
Hey, Teresa, how are you doing?
Exhausted.
Oh, no.
Well, my page gets docked a little bit tonight because I was about 15 minutes late, Therese.
Yeah, I just my husband's having a barbecue at his work, and so me being the nice person I am, I made cookies.
What did you have to fix something and carry it in? Is it like potluck? Everybody brings something?
No, they're providing it, but I just decided to be nice.
Okay. But just to recap, I'm not going to go over the whole top 10 list each week, but 2 weeks ago we came up with Tony as the top male, and last week we came up with Parvati as the top female. Not really big surprises, but probably two people that are very worthy. And now tonight we go over the seasons. Is Tim ready out there in the chat room?
He is out there. I'm sure, considering he's listening right now, that he's going to provide his top 10 list. Once he gets the chance to.
All right, we may still have Kansas showing up. We may still have her showing up.
Well, I said this last week. Given the fact that she was a two-time winner, Sandra could have been considered one of the actual top ones, except she always had her butt out during challenges, and she quit.
Yeah, I think she gave her last performance, I think she gave fans enough reasons to not give her that top spot. I mean, she can always say she's, as of right now, she's the only two-time female winner, but she can also say, I'm a two-time champ that quit.
Yeah, you know, it's like I said,
she's a two-time winner. Yeah, she won it, but look at what happened there. I mean, she shouldn't have won it. Poverty should have won it.
Right.
It was, the boat was fucked. Pardon my English. That was
right.
A stupid boat.
Is this Eddie?
Poverty should have won. She should have won that season, but because she was close to Russell, they wouldn't let her win.
Did her in.
You know? So,
and I'm sure if you went back and asked those people to vote now, they would not vote Sandra.
I agree. You know, and I think the whole Quinn thing, how she played that up the whole time Winners at War was airing. And, you know, I had told you guys what was going to happen. Everyone knew she was going to quit. And yet she's still playing herself up as the queen. I think that turned a lot of people off, too.
Yeah.
So,
her head,
you know, I think
was
it
bigger than the state of Texas.
I just think if you look at the body of work, go ahead and give Sandra credit for her two wins, but go back and look at how she won, and then look at Parvati's body of work. I really don't think it's that close.
No, it's
no.
not.
Well, and also,
if she wouldn't even won the second time if it wasn't Parvati giving her the immunity bracelet, the immunity thing. That was
well,
all Parvati's doing, the only reason she won.
And you look at it, too, the only reason why she won Pearl Island is because her competition
Rufus?
Was the outcast.
Well, I mean, our whole strategy that season was, as long as it's not me, just tell me who to vote for. That was the strategy. And, I mean, it worked, but in the game of Survivor, how much do you respect that?
I don't. I never liked her that much. I mean, I know everyone raves about her. I never cared for her much.
I mean, to me, you know, it's kudos to her, the fact that she was able to capitalize on the situation that was given to her. But you know, it's the fact that she didn't really do that much during Pearl Island, and it was more of a case of, okay, you know, I was never voted out. Lillian, not only was she voted out, but she was, if I recall correctly, she was a pain in the ass around camp. You know, that I mean, she was a hard worker. She was a hard worker, but as far as her attitude goes, you know, she had basically a freaking sourpuss the entire season. So, you know, it's like the lesser of two evils. Do you want to vote for somebody who may have done nothing, but at the same time, she, you know, capitalized on what she was given to work with, or do you want to vote for somebody who literally nobody liked the entire season?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And third place was no prize
either. In today's game of Survivor, she would never survive. She would never make it that far.
I agree. But I think Parvati, in today's game, if they didn't know who she was, I think her style of play could still work.
Oh, yeah, she could. And even knowing her gameplay, you'd be an idiot not to work with her. You just got to watch for the knife in the back.
And make
That's
sure
true.
You hey, don't go- give your... And make sure you don't give your immunity to somebody else.
Oh. All right, let's kind of go back and look at the season, starting with season one. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time recapping them. Everyone's seen them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up the season and the winner, and you can all jump in. I'm not going to go... You know, to each person individually, just jump in with your thoughts. And what I want to know is, should it be considered as a top 10 season, yes or no? It's going to be very simple, just yes or no. And we're going to start with, of course, Survivor Borneo, the first season that Richard Hatch won. Should that be considered for top 10?
Yes.
I think it definitely should, because without Survivor Borneo, you don't
none of them would be
change. You don't change the landscape of reality TV.
Okay. I agree.
All right. How about season two? The Australian Outback, where Tina Wesson beat Colby Donaldson. Should that be considered?
For me, yes.
I'm a little iffy on it.
Okay.
I'm iffy on it, too. I'd have to see the other ones after we talk about them before thinking about putting that one on, because there are so many fantastic seasons.
All right. Just starting to jot down my notes right now. All right. Season three, Africa. Ethan Zahn won that season. Should that one be considered?
Possibly.
It's not in mine.
In my opinion, I'd say probably no.
Okay.
It had some good cast, but that was about it.
Yeah, it had a great cast.
I don't agree with what happened and how it happened. And, you know, some of the things were just not right.
Okay. Season four, Marquesas, where Vesepia pulled off the win. Should that be considered?
No, I didn't like that season.
No,
I think
not mine
either.
I think it should
at least be up for debate because of the fact that it produced the first ever Purple Rock, where literally I believe it was Pascal that got.
Right.
That was the victim of the Purple Rock, and yet he was never even, you know, he had never had a vote cast against him, basically, the whole season. And Marquesas, actually, because of that one instance, that actually made them change the rules when it came to the rock draw.
Okay. So it's kind of an iffy on that one. Survivor
yeah.
Thailand, the season that Brian won over Clay Jordan, and Brian was cast away forever in the annals of Survivor, never to be heard from again.
It's not in mine.
Brian? I like that season.
I thought he was on Winners at War, no?
No,
no, he wasn't.
No,
no.
Oh,
they'll
okay.
never, they'll never have
Black
Brian Black. Back because he does porn.
Yeah, okay.
Same with Ozzy now. You can
I like
him.
That season, though, with Brian when he won it. Not because Brian won it, because I like the guy that came in second a lot.
Yeah, I like Clay, too. I like Clay, too.
I really like Clay.
He's in
Who made that season?
Yeah, Clay's in Whispers. All right, season six, The Amazon, where Jenna won, and that was the season where Jenna and Heidi both took their tops off for peanut butter.
For entertainment value, possibly.
Yeah, it's not in mine.
Yeah, probably.
Me
you know,
either.
If be considered at all, it would be for entertainment value. Otherwise, there wasn't really that much gameplay that season. It was mainly men versus women, and then all of a sudden, you know, the women just basically took over for the most part. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that, but you know, it just there's
it was a number
there
game.
Just wasn't. Yeah, it was basically a numbers game, and there wasn't really that much gameplay.
No, there wasn't. It was totally a numbers game.
Okay. In what kind of started to be a turning point, I think, for the show, I think it kind of picked up with season seven, Pearl Islands. That was Sandra's first win over Lillian. Of course, we had the Outback stuff and all that kind of stuff. Should Pearl Islands be considered?
Yes.
I like Pearl Islands. Yeah, I think it should be considered.
It also gave us one of the biggest characters ever in Rupert and Fairplay.
Rupert, yeah.
And also
you know,
one of the most notorious moments ever on reality TV
the dead grandma.
History, too.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it gave us the little underdog in Dara.
Yep. I think it definitely warrants consideration for top 10.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. Next up was Survivor All-Stars. When Amber won, Rob finished second. A lot of people think Rob actually should have won, because he was the one pulling all the strings. It was the season where he tricked Lex, and basically everything he did was for Amber. But Amber gets the win. Our first All-Star season, should that be considered?
Yeah, I like that
yeah.
season.
Yes,
out of all the early seasons, All-Stars probably had the most gameplay. Not to mention,
yeah, fantastic
characters. Not to mention,
I agree with you,
cast
Steve.
Of characters that they had cast for this season.
Yeah,
so
they
I think
some
definitely.
Great characters. I mean, Big Tom was on that season.
Richard was on there, right?
I still remember that how Big Tom had done everything Rob wanted him to do all season, and all of a sudden he didn't want to agree with Rob on something. And Big Tom asked Rob, why would I do this? And Rob said, because you've done everything else I said all season. And then that's
that
the season
good.
Where Rob and Lex's friendship ended.
Yep.
I don't think you
favor.
Can blame Rob. If you're looking out for your girl, who's not going to make that movie made?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. If anything, Lex let his guard down when he should have realized something was up.
People saw in our Whispers games in seasons that JJ and I both played together, don't go after her. I'm going to get you.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't blame Rob for that. So, but the next season, Vanuatu, the season where Chris Daughtry just wiped out like six women at the end.
I like that season.
I think there should be at least some consideration, I think, for a lower end top 10 season. Simply because of the underdog story. Because of the underdog story that Daughtry had. I mean, six versus one. You know, it's,
yeah. And he wins.
Don't
think some of those women weren't good. I mean, you had Amy involved in that. You had
Eliza.
Eliza. What was? Oh God, I'm trying to think. Ooh, Amy's good friend.
Amy too,
What's her name? I saw her picture today on Instagram.
Julie Berry?
Leanne.
Oh, Leanne.
If I recall correctly, wasn't Leanne basically the leader of all the women, essentially? And right when she got taken out, everything started going downhill.
Yeah, Leanne was kind of the leader, and Amy was the muscle.
Yeah, and basically once
That's the season Jeff Probst crossed the line and ended up dating a player when he saw Julie Berry laying on the beach with her thong on. Little did Jeff know that Amy had her before he did. That's a true story. All right, let's move on to Palau. Tom Westman's win over Katie Gallagher. Yes or no?
I think it should be considered because of the it was the first time someone played square like that and won it.
I would have to agree. I'd say yes simply because of the fact that apart from the pagonging, as we call it now, from the Pagong tribe on Borneo, this was really the only season where one tribe was completely decimated before the merge.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, of tribes being decimated, that brings us to Guatemala, where they brought back Stephanie LaGrosse and Bobby John, and Stephanie ends up being alone on a tribe by herself, but yet she makes finals, and somehow they vote Danny Boatwright the winner after she survived all of that. Should that season be considered?
Well, it was Palau that she was the only surviving member of her original tribe. But was it Palau?
Yeah, but
her and Bobby John.
It was Palau, but Nakum didn't really trust her Yakta didn't really trust her when she joined Survivor Guatemala. So you could say
Laguna,
she was technically
Ed Laguna, Yaxa, Nakum, Naranjo as tribes. But should Guatemala be considered Danny Boatwright's season?
I like that season. I enjoyed it.
I like the season too, but it's not in my top 10.
Okay. All right, now we move to Panama. we move to Panama, where Aris gets the win over Danielle DiLorenzo. Should that be considered?
Nah.
It's not in mine.
No, it's not mine either.
All right, what about the next season? Cook Islands, where Yul Kwan beats Ozzy and Becky.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Cook Islands.
Even though it generated a lot of controversy, it still ranks up there, in my opinion, as being one of the more gameplay based seasons. So
I agree.
I think it definitely should be considered.
Okay. Then we go to Fiji, and we know what happened there. They fell in love with Fiji, and they ended up later on just filming there every season. But Survivor Fiji, with Earl Cole winning over Cassandra and Dreams, who stole Yawman's truck.
Yeah.
Should that season be considered?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with a no on this one.
I like the season, but as far as top 10,
I'd say no.
Okay. All right, the next season we get Survivor, and they go to China, which was pretty cool.
I love China.
That was pretty cool.
I really love that season.
And
yeah, I like
Todd Herzog ends up winning over Courtney and Amanda Kimmel. Should that one be considered?
Yeah.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I agree. I love that season.
I love the season because, of course, everyone knows I'm friends with Courtney. But I love Todd's gameplay. I love the location. I loved how they did that.
That's it, the location. It was just
mixed in the culture and all that stuff. I love that. I love
and
that.
And that's where it really started. You could start seeing things then. They were playing with it.
I miss that now about them just staying in one location. I miss seeing that, you know. Because, I mean, they used to do neat little things where they went into the towns and they'd hang out with the little kids. Kids, or they do things, or you'd see local monuments and things, and they just stayed in Fiji, and you don't see any of that anymore.
No, you don't.
I agree with you on that.
That season's really important because that's when they started playing with us really big time, the editors.
Yeah.
And also too for that season, they actually, both tribes actually had a copy of The Art of War that was done by Sun Tzu, which actually helped to compete in challenges and conquer each other, basically. That's how they integrated, you know, the Chinese culture partially into the season.
Fantastic book.
Okay, then we go to Micronesia, where Parvati gets her win over Amanda. So that's two straight seasons Amanda makes finals and can't win. Should Micronesia be in consideration?
Definitely. The gameplay was unbelievable.
Yeah, I liked it also.
Between Eric giving up immunity to... what's her name, only to be voted out, and then the F and Step.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're totally right there. There's a lot about that season we need to...
That was a huge moment in Survivor history when that happened. And you knew the girls were just sitting there licking their chops at what was fixing to happen.
Yeah, really.
What an amazing... That was a epic Survivor moment.
Yeah. Next season is Survivor Gabon, and that was when we had an older winner, Bob Crowley as he defeated Susie and Sugar in the final three. And he made probably to this day the best fake idol ever. So what about that season?
I like that season.
I did too, but it's not in my top 10.
I do think, though, that it should be considered because they brought a very entertaining cast, especially once the merge hit. It really turned the dial up, basically. And this season's also known for one of the biggest blow-ups at a final tribal when Corinne gave that speech to Sugar.
Still to this day, I'm close friends with Corinne, and I'm casual friends with Sugar. And there, I can tell you for a fact, there is still no love lost between those two. So next we move on to Token Gene, and we get a very likable winner, JT, and a very likable runner-up in Fishbach. But JT sweeps all the votes. Of course, Token Gene was in Brazil. So what about that season? Consider it or not?
I'd say yeah, because it had, like, some of the big names now, like JT and Fishbach, Coach Tyson.
Yeah, we did have future winners. We did have future winners in this cast.
Yeah, I think we should consider it. I agree with you.
And one who should have been a winner. I agree. I think this one definitely should be in consideration.
Okay, next up, Survivor Samoa, where Natalie White pulls off the upset and beats Russell and Mick in the finals. I still, as much as I dislike the guy, I still say this was one of the best seasons ever played by anyone.
Yeah,
by Russell.
It's
sad he didn't learn from the mistakes and kept trying to play the same way. If he would have adjusted, he might have done, he might have won. But a pretty good season. Of course, a lot of people don't consider Natalie a very worthy winner. I think she knew exactly what she was doing. She knew nobody's going to vote for Russell. So what about Samoa?
Oh, Russell's social game sucked.
Yeah, do we consider Samoa?
Nah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I would consider it.
All right, I think the next one is going to be unanimous from everyone.
No-brainer.
Villains. Heroes versus villains.
Definitely.
Sandra wins over Parvati and Russell. That definitely has to be in the mix, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Definitely.
Unbelievable game. I so enjoyed that one. Didn't like the winner, but I enjoyed it. I wanted Parvati.
All right, next up is Survivor Nicaragua. That's when we get Fabio winning over Chase and Sash, and a really big season from Brenda. Great cast. We had Holly. We had Eve. We had Jane. We had Marty. Tyrone. I mean, it was a really, really good cast. One of the funny little behind the scenes from that season was the players told me they just laughed their ass off at watching Fabio detox all season because he was detoxing while he was out there.
Yeah.
So what about Nicaragua? Is that in the conversation?
Uh, It's iffy for me.
Yeah, it's on the fence. It's on the fence with me. I mean, we had an entertaining. The gameplay is kind of back and forth with this season.
Yeah, and it fell apart the last four or five episodes. It lost me in it. Even though, I don't know, something about the end of it. I didn't like the last four or five episodes.
Yeah, it's a no from JB.
Okay, next up
Kansas. We have Kansas joining us on the line now.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, honey.
Eddie, I hear you.
I know. I'm so happy to hear you.
I'm so happy to hear you. I love when you join in.
It's like getting a hug and a kiss.
Hi, girlfriend. How are you?
Good. I get to see the cutest girl in the world in about 8 days.
Your little granddaughter?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
that's so nice. Congratulations.
Kansas, you missed it earlier. I was a few minutes late because I was out in the yard going over landscape and stuff with our yard guy, and I brought him on the podcast. He said hello to everybody.
Is he a Survivor fan too?
No, he's never watched it. He's never watched it. He just thinks it's crazy about all these podcasts. He keeps up with my schedule because a lot of times he'll come over at night or something, you know, to hang out. And he knows Thursday nights are podcasts.
Yep.
So he heard everyone that was on here earlier tonight. I was about 15 minutes late, but he heard Steve, JB, Eddie, and Melissa, and spoke to him and when he talked to you, that's how he is. He calls you Mr. Eddie. That's why he always says Mr. So
that's real nice. Good manners.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was kind of cool. What we're doing, Kansas, we're just kind of going over every season and saying whether we think they should at least be in consideration or not. It's just a quick yes or no. You know, what do you think? So far, Borneo, Pearl Islands, All Stars, Vanuatu, Palau, Guatemala, Cook Islands, China, Micronesia, Gabon, Tocantins, Samoa, Heroes versus Villains, and Nicaragua. All of those someone has said yes to. Now we're going to move on. Now we're going to move forward to Redemption Island, where Boston Rob beat Philip and Natalie, and Rob pretty much ran the show, and they even lost a challenge on purpose to get rid of Russell. So does Redemption Island deserve consideration?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I wasn't thrilled with that season either, honestly. I mean, it just seemed like it was such an easy win for Rob. Not saying that he didn't deserve the win or whatever, but I remember that was just like, come on, guys, why don't you just hand him the game?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a dominating season.
Yeah.
It was a dominating season, but
a lot of people back then didn't know that I knew Andrea. Quick story. Because I don't know who's heard this and who hasn't. I got a message on Twitter from somebody that says, I'm a roommate of somebody that's going to be in the new cast, and they really love reading your post, and they can't wait to talk to you. And, I hear a lot of just crap, you know, and sometimes it's just BS. So I didn't pay much attention to it. I said, okay, well, cool. When they announce the cast, tell them to contact me. And when they announced the cast, Andrea contacts me. It was her. She was who the roommate was talking about. So we became big friends. I had a dummy account on Whispers in case we ever needed to use it for anything. Gave her the password, gave her the access to it. So she was in Whispers the whole season answering questions. You know, someone would ask something. I'll give you an example. Someone asked something one time about how the heck does she still look so good after all this time? I mean, do they let them, they give them makeup or what? And she posted under the dummy account, maybe they had long-lasting makeup when they went in, which was which was the right answer. She was giving them answers, but nobody in Whispers knew it but me and JJ. So, and it was pretty cool. And I had, getting back to the story, I had this conversation with her because I thought she was a really good player. I'm like, what the hell were you thinking? You just handed him the damn game. And she realized it after it was done. She said she got wrapped up in it, and, you know, they just did it. And she said if she had a chance to do it again, she wouldn't do it. So, anyway, that's my Andrea story about that season. I don't know if you ever heard that one, Eddie. I don't know.
I've heard pieces of it, but I like hearing your stories over and over because I get a little bit more each time.
But yeah, we did see some good players introduced that season.
I liked that season. I liked it.
And we had a big character, even though he wasn't that great of a player. But we had Mr. Pink Panties Phillip introduced that season.
Yeah, Pink Panties.
Secret Agent Man.
Yeah, Secret Agent Man. Yeah. All right, so the next season we go to is South Pacific, where Sophie pulled off the upset win over Coach and Albert, who we had on a podcast, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. We had Coach and Albert on together. What about South Pacific? Should that be considered?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
I think it was just like Rob's season, where it was pretty much dominated by one tribe. The only kicker there was that, you know, Cochran was the move to flip Cochran is basically what solidified the merge, the post-merge belonging to Coach's tribe. And there wasn't really that much, they had great characters, but there just wasn't that much gameplay after that one flip.
Okay. All right, after South Pacific, we have Survivor One World, which a lot of fans consider one of the most dominating performances ever from Kim, and it made two straight seasons that a female won. And in that final three, it was all females. It was Kim, Sabrina, and Chelsea. Should that season be considered?
I think so.
Yeah, I agree. I would say it's considered.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, and then the next season, where we get our third straight female winner in Denise, who wins over Lisa and Scootin, Survivor Philippines.
Yes.
That introduced some great gameplay, that one. It was...
Yeah, of course, we had
I really enjoyed the gameplay.
That was one of my favorites, Jim. I'm sure it's Melissa's too, because we both love the Lisa Welchel one, so I'm sure that Melissa's going to agree. That was probably one of her favorites.
And we had, we were introduced to Abby Marie, who was quite a character.
That was a good season.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
That was one of my favorites.
And, of course, like I said, we had Pinner.
Is Melissa on?
Yep. I'm here.
Was it one of your, it had to be one of your favorites. It had to be probably at the top.
It's one of my favorites.
I wouldn't say it's at the top, but yeah.
It will be in my top five, probably. I mean,
it was my second.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great season. It was really good. It was fun to watch.
I loved it. It was so fun and entertaining, and the whole scooping thing was so horrible later on when you found out all that crap with him.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was fun. I spoiled the hell out of it, which made it even more fun. So,
you don't spoil the hell out of these shows. No.
I didn't know you then,
Jim. You never spoil too much.
That was years before
I
knew you.
I spoiled the heck out of that season. Even as far as who was going to win challenges, who was going to do what, I had everything. Next, we've got Caramone. When Cochran wins over Dawn and Sherry.
Considering that was one of the biggest meltdowns ever, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
yeah,
the gameplay was fantastic.
Was that the season that that Brenda and Dawn got into it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And Andrew was, I spoiled the hell out of that one, too.
And it was
spoiled the hell out of all of them, Jim. Come on. Which season didn't
also,
you spoil the hell out of?
it was also the back-to-back blind side of Brenda and Andrea as well.
That was one of the worst moments for me personally to ever watch. Were the two of them to go at each other, because one was like my little sister, and of course everyone knows the history with the other one. Of course I was told things they talked about out there. They told me how I was brought up in conversations and stuff. Of course it never aired. But and then I liked Cochran. I liked John, you know. I liked Dawn. You know, and I felt really bad about what happened with Dawn, because I'm really good friends with her. I talked with her and her husband after it was over with. She had to have psychiatric care after that season. It was so bad.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, I hate to hear things like that.
And she knew how I was with Brenda, but yet she was friends with me, and we kept the Brenda stuff separate because she knew I was her friend, no matter what happened between her and Brenda. I was still Dawn's friend, you know. So that was a great season. I thought that was a really good season. Really good season. And, of course, Cochran swept the votes. You know, we have another person that gets every vote.
You'll have to forgive me, Cochran fans, but he never was one of my favorites. I'm sorry.
All right, next up, we have Blood versus Water. Did you like that season? Should it be considered? Tyson wins over Monica and Gervis.
That's one of my tops.
Yeah, I really like that season.
I love that season.
I think it should be considered. I think it definitely should be considered a lot more than the second Blood versus Water season.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it should be considered, too.
Okay. All right, the next season, Tony's first win over Wu, Kylie Ann.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Should that be considered?
I say yes.
It definitely should. One of the games where the gameplay never stopped.
Yeah.
I agree. That's the season
great
we got the llama. Remember the llama?
The llama, yeah.
Only in the llama.
The llama and the birth of Cops Are Us.
Yeah, Cops Are Us with him and Sarah, which came back later on to be even bigger. Next, we've got San Juan del Sur, where Natalie Anderson wins over Jacqueline and Missy Payne. My opinion, kind of a weak final three.
Yeah, this one.
No, not me.
All right, after that, we've got Survivor Worlds Apart, where Mike Holloway pulls off the win against Mama C and Will.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Should be considered. It's not in mine.
Okay. Then we get Cambodia, where Jeremy wins over Spencer and Tasha. And he swept the votes.
It's not in mine.
I think for me, I think this one is a definite consideration, especially considering the fact, too, that fans actually had an active role in deciding who, not only, they had an active role in deciding who came back for this season, which produced probably some of the more new school season moments to come out of this season. With the voting blocks and everything like that. After this season, you saw voting blocks start to become a regular thing.
All right.
You're
next,
right.
We got Call Wrong, the season where Michelle pulled out the win over Aubrey and Ty, and it sent Survivor fans into a frizzy, who were pulling for Aubrey.
I liked that season. I mean, there were things about that season I liked.
I liked it too, but it's not in my top 10.
That's Kansas, yeah. That's another season that was really, really spoiled.
I mean, apart from the Super Idol drama, there wasn't really that much to consider it, you know, a top 10 season.
Is that not the season we had the drama with Caleb being carted
out?
Yeah,
with him, due to heat exhaustion.
Yeah, that was pretty much the biggest drama of the season.
Yeah, that and the whole Super Idol that they hyped up for the entire season only for it to be a dud, basically.
Right, right. And fans still debate about that. The people that love Aubrey still think Michelle should have never won. The people like Michelle say, hey, she had a great social game. She knew what she was doing. She should have won. So that debate will live on, I guess.
I still say Michelle deserved the win over Aubrey.
I wasn't really
that impressed.
Definitely.
I agree.
I wasn't an Aubrey fan at all, actually, to be honest.
I agree, Steve. I think Aubrey was one of the most overrated players they've ever had.
Yeah, I'm sleeping.
And I think we saw that. I think we saw that when she came back. All right,
yeah,
next up we got Millennials versus Gen X. The season that Adam won over Hannah and Ken.
Huh.
I like that. That's one of my top tens.
another vote
Why
that was swept. Adam got every vote.
Why do they want her
good,
social security number?
It was a good story, but in my opinion, not a top 10 season.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And it was really messed up at the last, how they edited the last part of that. It was just messy.
Is there any way she can call you tomorrow?
Okay. All right, next up we've got Game Changers, where Sarah gets her win over Brad Culpepper and Troy Zan.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was a good season.
I like that season.
That was a very good season.
Especially
I agree.
With the whole drama with Zeke and Barney.
Wasn't that also the season where Sarah kind of made a fool out of Michaela?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, with the whole bench.
Right. You're sitting right there on it, and Sarah comes up and gets it.
And then uses the same advantage to vote her ass out.
All right, next up we got Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Probably one of the worst teams ever they came up with. Ben gets the win. A lot of fans thought that it was kind of handed to him. He wins over Chrissy and Ryan. Is that a season to consider?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
That sounds unanimous. All right, next up is Ghost Island. We had a really good finale. We finally had a tie vote. Wendell and Dom were involved in it. And then Laurel was the one that had to break the tie. So is that a season that we should consider?
I really like that season.
I did too.
I think it is something that we should consider. This cast came to play, and for the sheer oddity, because of the fact that this is the first ever tie vote at Tribal Council, or I mean at Final Tribal.
Right.
You know, that's probably one of the top, even though it's not really talked about now, it's still in my eyes is one of the top Survivor moments, because up until this season, it had never been done.
Right. It always been discussed. It had always been discussed, like, what would happen? What would happen? And Jeff always, his standard answer was, we have a plan in place, and we saw what that plan was. The third place person's going to break the tie. So now we know, moving forward, if we have that happen again, what's going to happen? All right, next up we have David versus Goliath. And that's Nick's win over Mike White, who got really drunk on wine that year, and Angelina, who's still asking somebody to give her a coat.
Yeah, to this day, she's still asking Natalie for her coat.
Oh, gosh.
That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, this one's
a yes for me.
Yeah, I would say yes on it.
I think it was a good season. Next, we've got The Edge of Extinction. Notice how I pronounced that perfectly, because I've caught a lot of heat over the years about the way I say that one word, but I got it right then. This is a season where a lot of people are like, okay, these twists are going too damn far. This guy doesn't even have to stay in the game, and he comes back in and wins. What kind of crap is that?
Right.
It was Chris Underwood's win over Gavin and Julie.
Overall, the gameplay was good, but in my opinion, Edge of Extinction just completely ruins it.
True, I agree.
I didn't like it that much.
I agree. And then the next season, Jeff just doubled down. He heard all the criticism, He heard all the criticism about Edge of Extinction. There, I got it again. Hear that? See, I'm getting good. He doubles down and goes with a damn Island of Idols. So, and this is where we have Rob and Sandra hanging out and talking to people and making their big bucks for not having to do anything, really. But Tommy gets the win. Tommy gets the win, who I will tell you, yesterday or the day before, he was DQ'd from the challenge.
He probably got into a fight or something.
Yeah, there are no survivors left.
Fight or something.
No survivors left on the challenge. Tommy wins over Dean and Nora, who was kind of the crazy girl that season, but played a pretty even game.
Well, I think Island of the Idols would have been better if it had been Rob and Parvati.
No Island of the Idols.
Yeah, you nailed it, Eddie. It would have been a lot better if there were no Island of the Idols.
Exactly.
You're seeing so many damn idols.
Yeah, that and if there was that and if there was no Dan also.
Right, right.
That's
all right. And our last season, the one we just completed, I'm sure that's probably going to make the list because it was a season of all winners where Tony gets his second win. Does it over another person coming back from the island, Natalie, who was out there all season long and never had to, you know, deal with the real game, and Michelle. And Tony wins with a 12-4 vote. So does that season get consideration?
Definitely
consideration.
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't one of my favorites, actually, but it definitely is up there. It's definitely one of the tops.
Okay.
And again, would have been better had...
if they didn't have that fucking twist in it.
Exactly.
And they sent them home.
Exactly,
right.
Eddie.
Right.
They should have been sent home.
That twist
left
that show up.
And
otherwise,
play the game right. I hate when they mess with the game. They mess with the whole integrity of what it is.
I agree with you.
Usually hate that shit. I don't know why they do it.
Well, they think by keeping those big names around longer, even though they've been voted out.
They're voted out. They're done.
The ratings. And plus, this is the season when they did the family visit. They even let people voted out get family members.
Even
Sandra got
a family member.
You know, if there was no Edge of Extinction this season, Yul Kwan would have made the jury, and who was it? Sarah would have been in the final three with Michelle and Tony.
Great.
If there was no Edge of Extinction, everything
would have been so different.
Well, everybody actually made a jury.
No, but I mean on a regular Survivor season.
Think about what Steve just said. Would that not have been a more realistic outcome?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you think
after all Sarah did that season with she should have been in the final three?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. 100%.
I agree.
Without
that twist, it would have been probably my top three shows if they didn't have that twist in it.
And not only that.
You could be right on that one, Eddie, really.
Because Natalie, who was first voted out, got... and got fire tokens left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was able to not only get many advantages in the final whatever that challenge was for her to come back, Plus,
well, I really like Natalie, though. You know, she's a damn good player. She really
works
her ass off. And, two, that was one of the ones they really edited her. I mean, you knew something was coming with her because every time you saw her, they had those friggin' filters on her.
I've always said about her for this season, and I'm not a Natalie fan, but what I've said, to be fair, is she didn't create the twist. She had to play within the rules that she was, you know, the hand she was dealt.
Right.
And she did that. Mm-hmm. So I can't knock her.
It's not her fault.
It just
never should have happened.
Yeah, I'm not
never should have happened any of that.
Natalie had a damn good gameplay. I mean, how many people could do that if any of the
other
survivors did?
She's a badass. She really is.
Yes,
she is. Also, what I was going to say was that once she got back, she actually almost got voted out, but because of all the fire tokens she won, she bought herself an idol to bring back into the game.
Yeah, but you can look at that both ways, Therese. It's like, okay, that's great for her, or you can look at it like another bullshit twist that shouldn't have happened.
That's how most of the fans, I think, saw it too, Jim, as another bullshit twist.
I agree, Kansas.
And again, let me repeat.
It's not Natalie's fault.
Not at all.
It is
not
Natalie's fault.
She
played the game, not the player. Absolutely.
Yes, she did what she had to do. It's not her fault.
It wasn't her fault at all. I agree.
And every twist they threw at her, he came up after being the first one voted off.
She
used everything. You know, and she kept her head up and played.
She did.
She was an honorable survivor.
Yep. I agree.
Not like Miss Sandra.
Oh, now that's rude.
Oh, man.
Honestly, for me, that was the worst part of the whole season was Sandra.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And I told everybody it was coming, so everybody knew. But still, when you actually saw it, it just turned your stomach, you know?
Yeah.
This is a two-time champion calling herself the queen.
Yeah, the queen. Ugh.
Yeah, and then she's
more
Clark.
Like a drag
she's
queen.
Still calls herself the queen.
I agree, Eddie.
Let's call her a drag queen from now on.
Yeah, let's.
Oh, man.
To me, she's a major loser. All those pictures she posted wearing crowns and shit.
She's a bunch of shit.
Trying to live it up like she was a queen, and all of us knew what was going to happen, and it just made you sick to see her acting like that, knowing she was fixing to quit.
I like that Jim took the crown off of her head on the at the final three on his picture.
I'm sorry, she doesn't deserve that damn crown.
I don't think so either.
People can look at her wins and say that they don't feel she deserved those wins either.
We decided last week if they give a crown to a female, it should go on Parvati's head.
Parvati,
definitely. She's the queen over Sandra in a heartbeat.
So, all right, here's what we've come up with now. We've got a lot. I mean, we've got more seasons on this list. I've jotted down what you guys have said you're going to consider. And when I did this for the guys and for the girls, I didn't have near this big a list. So I'm going to run down them again and tell you the seasons that at least one person said they were going to consider. We'll go all the way back to Borneo, Pearl Islands, All Stars, Vanuatu, Palau, Guatemala, Cook Islands, China, Micronesia, Gabon, Token Cheese, Samoa, Heroes versus Villains, Nicaragua, Redemption Island, One World, Philippines, Caramone, Blood versus Water, Cagayan, worlds apart, Cambodia, Millennials versus Gen X, Game Changers, Ghost Island, Winners, what is D versus G?
David versus Goliath.
Okay, all right. I couldn't remember what I wrote. D versus G, and I couldn't remember what it was.
is Amazon on there at all?
Who?
Amazon.
No, I didn't write Amazon down. I didn't think I heard enough backing to write that. I'll put it on there though, in case someone votes on it, Amazon.
Yeah, Australia too.
I do have Tim's list on here too. 28 out of 40 seasons are in consideration. That's crazy. I mean, we didn't have near that many men or women in consideration. I mean, I'm doing it old school, writing it on a composition book. It took up the whole page.
Jim, I got Tim's list here, and I just got to say, wow.
Uh-oh.
I'm kind of shocked. I'll just put it that way.
Wow.
Oh, well.
All right, we got about 20 minutes left before we go into the overtime. I guess the only thing left to do now is to start with the voting. And, Steve, why don't we start with Tim? And when you give me your votes, I want you to go in reverse order again.
From Tim 10 to 1.
Up to number 1, because Tim gets 1 point. You know, we move all the way up to number 1, that will get 10 points. So let's start off with Tim. Who is he at in the number 10 slot?
Number 10, he has Amazon.
Okay. Good thing you spoke up, Melissa. All right. Keep going.
Number 9, he has Micronesia.
Okay.
Number 8, you have Blood versus Water, the first Blood versus Water season.
Right. Okay.
At 7, you got China.
Ooh, let me find. There we go. 1, 2, 4 points for China. Okay.
Number 6, you have Millennials versus Gen X.
Okay.
Number 5, you have Cambodia.
Okay.
4, you have the Philippines.
5.
Let's see. Number 3, you have Cagayan.
I knew he liked that season. He's told me that before.
Number 2, you got Tocantins.
Okay.
And number 1, you have Cook Islands.
Wow. He left out some big ones.
Yes. That's why I said shocking.
Yeah, he left out some really big ones. Wow. Okay. JB, you want to go next?
Okay, I'll go. Okay. Number 10.
Start at the bottom.
Okay, number 10. I have Borneo.
Okay.
Number 9, I have Palau.
All right.
Number 8, I have Cambodia.
Let me find it. Let me find it. Okay.
Number 7, I have China.
Aye.
Number 6, I have Cagayan.
Where are you at? Okay.
Cincinnati. I'm in Cincinnati.
No, I'm looking on my list. Where are you at?
I know it.
All right.
Number 5, I'm gonna mess you up here.
Uh-oh.
Number five, DVG.
David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We've got it here.
Number 4, I have Ghost Island.
Okay.
Oh, man. The top 3, I don't know. Number 3, I'm going to go with Australia.
Wow. They didn't even make the list, did they? All right, let me write
my
them in.
Made my
no,
list.
About, yeah, all right. Fine. Okay, you got 2 left.
Okay, number 2, Winners at War.
All right, number 1.
What else is it? Heroes versus Villains.
Okay.
Number 20. Season 20.
Okay. Eddie, are you ready to go?
Well, I really only have 7 that I have on here, so I'd like to listen to everybody to try to find my last 3.
All right, We'll come back to you. Melissa, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Number 10. Number is 10. Amazon.
Who's number 10?
Amazon.
Okay. 9.
Oop. Philippines.
Who? Oh, Philippines.
Philippines.
Okay. All right, next.
Winners at War.
Okay. Next.
David versus Goliath.
Okay.
Micronesia.
All right.
Millennials versus Gen X.
Okay.
Cagayan.
Why can I never find that one?
I know it's on the list. I've heard it. I've heard others say it.
Yeah, I got it. All right, what's next?
All-Stars.
First All-Stars, okay.
Redemption Island.
Okay. Number 1.
Heroes versus Villains.
Okay. Teresa, you ready?
Yes, sir. Let's get this show on the road. Okay.
All right. Start from the bottom. You're number 10.
Heroes versus Villains.
Okay.
Number 9 is Cambodia. Number 8 is Cook Island.
Wait a minute. Slow down. Slow down.
Okay.
All right. Cook Islands. Okay. What's next?
Tocantins.
Okay.
Winners at War.
All right.
Micronesia.
All right.
Ghost Island. Then
Caramoan.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Let me find it. Let me find Ghost Island. Okay, 1, 2.
She said Cook Island, didn't she?
She
Ghost,
said
no,
I thought she
Cook
said
Island
Ghost Island.
Before was Ghost Island.
All right, after Ghost Island.
Okay.
Caramoan.
All right.
David versus Goliath.
Okay.
And then Game Changer.
All right. All right, got you locked in. Kansas, are you ready?
I'm ready, Mr. Jim.
All right, start at 10.
Okie dokie. Number 10 is Millennials versus Generation X.
All right.
Number 9 is Kageyan.
Okay.
Number 8 is David versus Goliath.
Okay.
Number 7 is China.
Okay.
Number 6, Micronesia, fans versus favorites.
All right.
Number 5, Palau.
Okay.
Number 4, Second Chance.
What? I don't have it listed as Second Chance.
That
what
was
it?
That was Cambodia.
Okay.
Season 31.
All right. I mean, I know I've got Cambodia wrote down. You guys are really testing my eyes tonight with this. trying to read my own writing. All right. I got you, Cambodia.
And number 3 is the first season of Blood versus Water.
Okay.
Number 2 is Philippines. And number 1, because it started it all, Borneo.
Sentimental pig.
Yes, definitely. I fell in love with Survivor watching that very first season.
I did too. It came on right after the Super Bowl.
My husband was even watching then. He stopped watching,
that.
I think, after season 2.
Yeah, I was just a little thing, but I remember it coming on our Super Bowl. So you were already watching TV because you watched the Super Bowl. Now here's this new show, and you're like, holy crap, this is good.
Oh, we watched every episode.
Yeah.
It was that first episode that Richard Hatch said that he was going to win. And I said to myself, you know what? He's got such – he's talking so how do you call it? He was so positive. I said, you know what? he is going to win. I looked at my wife and I said, I'll bet you he's going to win.
See, I didn't think he would.
He did.
I didn't think he would at all.
He said, I'm going to win. I'm going to win this season.
Okay,
yeah, I
Eddie,
love that.
Eddie, you got your 10 now?
Okay, well, first of all, everyone that you guys said, they're all fantastic, and I wouldn't give up on one of them. And I'd even watch The Worst Survivor over and over if that was the only one there was. So, because I am such a freaking addict. But everything you guys said was right on it. So my top five are solid. The ones below that are any one y'all said could take their place. So I put my number 10 was Micronesia. My number 9 was David versus Goliath.
Don't so fast. Slow down. I'm an old man.
Okay, I'll go back to my southern.
All right. I got Micronesia. What's after that?
David versus Goliath.
Okay.
DVD.
Philippines.
All right.
Blood versus water.
Okay.
Ghost Island. Now, my number 5 would be higher if they didn't have what they did in it. Winners versus War. Winners at War, I'm sorry. My 4 is All Stars. My number 3 is China. Now, the reason I'm putting that is if you go back and look at the edit, they really started doing things with that edit. That's when we really saw them start coming after it. You could really tell things from it. So
okay.
That's why it's that high. My number 2 is Heroes versus Villains.
All right. Let's see.
My number 1 is Borneo. I mean, none of us would be here if it wasn't for the first season of Survivor.
Exactly.
I totally agree with that.
All right. All that's left is I got to come up with my. Now, some of the seasons that so far that we said were in consideration I'm sorry, Steve. Oh, how did I forget you? All right. Start at the bottom.
Number 10, I have China.
Okay.
Number 9, I have Cook Islands.
Okay.
Number 8, I have Samoa.
Okay.
Number 7, I have the Philippines.
Okay.
6, I got Cambodia.
Why can I never? Oh, there we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
5, I have All Stars.
All right.
Number 4, I have Borneo.
Okay.
3, I have Micronesia, Fans versus Favorites.
All right.
Number 2, I have Cagayan.
All right.
And number 1 is Heroes versus Villains.
Okay. All right. Now, that's everybody besides me, right?
Yep, looks like it.
Okay. So far, out of the seasons that we said we would consider, there's only a few that have not received votes yet. Pearl Islands, Vanuatu, Guatemala, Gabon, Nicaragua, One World, and Worlds Apart. all the other seasons that we named have received votes. So this is probably going to be close. Now I just have to do mine. Mine's going to be wacky for different reasons.
real quick, nobody get cut off or disconnected. We are about 90 seconds away from the overtime.
Right. Right.
We did have somebody. We did have somebody call in with a 228 area code, but I wasn't able to connect them before they disconnected. So it was probably a spam caller, potentially.
All right, let's see. Filling mine out right now.
And Tim, we got you on board here.
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Real quick, the area code 228 is the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. I don't know of anybody there.
Yeah, we've never had somebody from that area code call in. Not from what I remember. So,
well, I know Sarah lives in Mississippi, but she's got the same area code as I do, so.
Yeah, I don't know. But at least when I checked my notes, it wasn't on the area code list that I have here.
Too late for him now.
Yep. You was you and you was screwed.
But this was so far, you know, this may be the tightest race I think that we've had out of all of the out of all the rankings that we've done.
Well, I know,
yeah.
when Jim posted about this, I was like saying this was going to be tough because there were so many good ones, and I think JB said something like, "Yeah, that's what she said."
Yeah, I've got my votes in. Now I need to tally up all of this because, like you guys said, the votes are all over the place. I know he's going to win, but there's no telling how these other nine spots are going to end up.
It was hard because, I mean, I kept going back and forth on a few of them.
Yep.
Yeah, I mainly went back and forth on, like, 9 and 10. The others were pretty solid for me.
I was kind of surprised, Tim, that you left Heroes versus Villains out.
Yeah, I just hate Russell Hance that much.
I think I had Heroes versus Villains and then changed my mind.
Yeah, like I had Borneo on my list originally, but changed my mind and replaced it with Micronesia.
I mean, especially since Heroes versus Villains was the very first season I watched.
Yeah, Cook Islands was the first season I watched. That's part of the reason why it's number one. I also just like the story of how it played out.
Wow. This is close.
The comeback of the I-24 was simply incredible.
The thing about it is, as we've had the last 2 weeks, number one is very clear cut. So there's not really that big of a debate about that. It's after number one.
So my guess is number, I'm not going to spoil it.
Wow. Man, this is close. 2, 3, and 4, one vote apart from each other. Bam.
Wow.
Is this taken into consideration your votes also?
Yeah, yeah, I've added mine in. I'll tell you what mine were as soon as
okay.
I get this tallied up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got my votes in it too.
Well, then I think this one probably eclipses the female voting, I think, because
I really didn't think this one was going to be that tough, but I remember Teresa posting in the group saying how hard this one was going to be, and I think she was right.
Hell, we didn't even have the, the top, you said 2, 3, and 4 were all separated by one vote apiece or 1 point apiece. I don't think we even had that many one after the other separated by just 1 point on either the men or the women.
I mean, the vote all the way down is close for all the slots.
Probably one or two separating everyone.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, the bottom four slots, votes 21, 22, 23, 24. That's the bottom four.
Oh, man.
And then the next two slots, 27 and 29. And then 2, 3, and 4, 32, 33, 34. So, Terry, that ain't close.
Jeez.
All right, my number 10 was Kagion. My number 9 was All Stars. My number 8 was Blood versus Water. My number 7 was Pearl Islands. My number 6 was Borneo. My number 5 was Winners at War. My number 4 was Heroes versus Villains. My number 3 was Samoa. My number 2 was Philippines. My number 1 was Nicaragua. Now, here we go with our combined top 10. Number 10 with 21, Survivor China. Number 9 with 22, Survivor Cambodia. Number 8 with 23, Survivor All-Stars. Number 7 with 24, David versus Goliath. Number 6 with 27, Micronesia. Number 5 with 29, Winners at War. Number 4 with 32, Kagion. Number 3 with 33, Borneo. Number two with 34, Philippines. Number one with 47, Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, not going to lie, when I did my ranking, I had forgotten about David versus Goliath, or I definitely would have put that in my top 10.
Yeah. So I think we got another good list, and it was very, very close.
Yeah, very close.
Closest one that we've had.
Yeah, any comments? Anybody like, how the hell did that one get in there? Or, well, of course that was going to be there.
I'm not surprised that Heroes vs. Villains was there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either.
Yeah, I think that one honestly was a no-brainer. I kind of thought though that you know, the top spot probably would have been between Cagayan and Heroes vs. Villains, just based off of the fact that it seemed like there was never any lull in the action on both seasons.
Yes, I guess people really liked the cast of Philippines for them to be up that high. And, of course, I think with Borneo, I mean, it's kind of like when we talk about best males, you got to have Hatch in there. You got to have Borneo in there because, like Eddie said, that started it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, without Borneo, there isn't any other Survivor season, and without Borneo, like I said earlier, the face of the landscape of reality TV isn't changed.
Right. Yeah, that one show that season started the whole wave of reality TV.
Mhm.
I mean, it introduced the concept of an alliance. You know,
then you started seeing
like the Real World Road Rules Challenge incorporate alliances.
Big Brother. Even Amazing Race eventually.
Amazing Race, I Love Money when they got started on VH1. You know, any reality television competition that came after Borneo mainly got their influence from Borneo.
And you take that all the way back. You take that all the way back to one person, Richard Hatch.
Yep.
Yep.
He came up with it. He came up with the strategy. I'm not saying somebody else wouldn't have, because it makes too much sense, you know, alliances and numbers, but he was the first. That was also when they came down to that final three challenge, where it appeared everyone really needed to win that to get to the finals, and Richard just jumps off. He's like, I'm not going to do this. I know either one of y'all are going to take me, so y'all go for it. I know other players that use that strategy in our Whispers games, and it works. So,
hell, even Mike Boogie did it in Big Brother All Stars.
Yeah,
he paid tribute to Hatch by being the first one to jump off. He wasn't the first one to jump off. Janelle ended up getting out first, but then Boogie threw the competition, the first part, to Erica, basically saying to steal from Richard Hatch. Either one has to take me.
You know, speaking of Janelle, Jim, have you heard what's going on with Janelle?
I guess I haven't.
The COVID.
She's in really bad shape. I did hear that.
It came back and it hit her lungs, and I think I saw like 3 months. It's or at least 3 months for her to possibly start getting better. It's been longer than that
since she got COVID. She got COVID in January.
She had it, and then she got better, and then it came back in like a pneumonia or something, and it hit her lungs.
I'm surprised she didn't get she didn't need a ventilator if her lungs were damaged that bad.
I think she did. Didn't they say, or she was on a respirator, I think. I think she was.
Well, she said that she went in and she had a ventilator treatment, but I think she meant nebulizer.
Oh, okay.
If she was on a ventilator, they would have had to put her out, and she probably would have been on longer than a couple of days.
Yeah.
So I think she got it mixed up, and she had a nebulizer treatment.
See, that's the crap with this COVID. It can come back, and it can affect your organs. It's so scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going for my second shot on Saturday. So after that, the ten day clock starts for when I guess you're officially you're considered fully vaccinated 10 to 14 days after your second shot.
I think officially it's 2 weeks.
I heard 14 days, Steve.
Yeah, I heard 2 weeks.
Well, I know, like, my job at the commissary, at Fort Leavenworth, they basically said, if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. It's like, I like that idea, but...
When I go to grocery stores and places, I'm still wearing a mask because this is what kills me. They're saying, you know, you're free. If you have both of your shots, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. But, you know, we want the people that weren't vaccinated to wear the masks. And I know out here, because it's like a big margin of people that, you know, are not going to get their shots. And it's going to be more people like myself that are trying still to be safe rather than these other people that are going to look at it out here and say, what the hell? You know, I don't have to wear a mask. No one's going to know the difference. And if they're already fully vaccinated, I'm not going to get them sick. So why do I have to wear a mask?
Right. Well, my friend, I'm telling you, she's the one that would call me saying, you're going to put a tracker in me. They're going to do – okay. So when – our governor, Polos, came forward and said, okay, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. She stopped wearing a mask. And she goes, did you hear? Polos said you don't have to wear a mask anymore. And I said, Jill, that is for people that have been vaccinated. She goes, shh, they'll never know the difference.
That's exactly it.
And so you wonder how many people there are out there that are doing the same darn thing.
I know out here, I guarantee you, almost everybody that's not vaccinated isn't wearing masks.
Well, last time I saw her, she goes, you've been vaccinated. Why are you wearing a mask? I said, because you're not. I said, I'm wearing my mask to keep you safe because I can still get COVID. And I may not get sick, but I could pass it on to you. And if you haven't been vaccinated, you could get really sick.
See, but here's what's so awful, Melissa. They still don't have the answers to, you know, like we know that we're not going to end up in a hospital, you know, or anything like that if we get, you know, if we possibly, we're going to have a symptomatic, you know, if we do get COVID while we're fully vaccinated.
Well,
but they don't know, but they don't have the answer to about what happens later. Could it possibly hit us later where it could affect one of our major organs? They don't have the answer to that yet. Which is one of the main reasons why I'm still wearing my mask in grocery stores, in small businesses. I'm still going to wear my mask.
Well, I'm going to have a scary situation come Saturday because my aunt is in town and she wants to get together. But the thing is that, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't really want to have them over here. And my brother doesn't want them over there. And it's just like, okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to meet at a restaurant for lunch. And I chose the restaurant that I know has outdoor seating.
There you
so
go.
That we can
exactly.
be outdoors.
Right.
We can be outdoors, which will be a little bit more safe. But it's still going to be pretty scary for me. Because I have not been out to a restaurant.
But it's a lot safer than eating indoors, though. You're
in
smart
over a
to
year.
Pick that. Absolutely.
In over a year. So, crossing my fingers.
You're much safer outside than you are inside. And you're very smart to not let it be in your house because it goes through your system. It can go through your air filtration.
Yeah, my aunt's been vaccinated. My cousin has been vaccinated. I've been vaccinated. My daughter, my oldest brother has. But the thing is my other brother just got his second shot on Tuesday. So he's not really all the way there yet. But the one I'm concerned about is my little brother who, because of political reasons, we don't talk anymore. I don't know if he got vaccinated or not. So that's going to be a...
Well, a lot of Republicans out here refuse to get vaccinated.
Well, I mean, I don't want to bring politics into it. I mean,
I'm just talking about where I'm
at,
out here.
Yeah,
let's keep the politics out of it. Everyone's got their own thoughts, and you handle this situation as best you see for you and your family.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got friends that are Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not anything like that. It's just a known fact out here. That's what it is. And it's not just Republicans. It's also very highly religious. Very highly religious people out here also refuse to get vaccinated.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I think it goes even further than that. Like I told you, most of you heard our yard man on the podcast early tonight. He basically supports Democrats, but he's not going to get the vaccine. He's just scared of it. He don't want it.
Yeah, a lot of
his
people
wife,
are afraid
his
of it.
Wife,
yeah.
His wife don't want it. They have a grandson that got COVID, and he's okay now. But even with the grandson, they were wearing masks the whole time around the house, but they still don't want to get the vaccine. And they are pretty much Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. My
so
son has been with
I think
with
you
shots.
Have to throw, I know in this area, I think you have to throw race into it a little bit because black people are more scared of this vaccine than white people.
Out here too, yes.
So
absolutely.
It's not necessarily political. I mean, it is somewhat, but it goes further than that.
Yeah,
well, out
my,
here,
my,
the black most of the black people are Republicans.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought it was opposite.
Every place is different. That's just how it is out here. It's nothing to do with politics for myself. It's just, you know, what I know, what I hear on the news and what's said and in the paper.
I know my son, okay, and it had nothing to do with being afraid of the vaccine. It had everything to be afraid of the needle. And I swear, I told him, I don't care, man. You're gonna get vaccinated. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I took him in, and he was really shook. But after the first shot, he was like, "Meh, that wasn't anything."
Can we get back to
and he
Survivor
got a second one
11:30?
Just fine.
I mean, let's move on
to Survivor 41 a little bit. Who wants to talk about Survivor 41 a little bit?
I do.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I have the big thing about it is, did Sydney get injured while she was playing Survivor or after? Or was that before?
I am not 100% sure yet. That's the way I answer that right now. I'm not one.
Who said me?
I'm not sure enough to say.
One of the cast members, Teresa.
Ah.
One of the cast members of 41. I'm putting it out there saying that she got injured.
It was a very, very bad injury. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Very bad.
She was probably backed out. Yeah. That's my prediction. I'm not saying that that's in stone, but that's
my prediction. Well, she's pre jury. She didn't make jury.
Yeah.
So
that's why I'm saying I think that she was probably backed out.
And it's going to be the Survivor males that watch the show and love seeing the hot babes and stuff, they're going to be disappointed because she's pretty hot. She's pretty cocky, too, now. She'll tell you she's good at different things. Yeah, it was a very, very, very bad injury. She's still recovering. She's still not, you know, able to use that leg. Still on crutches. Still on a brace. They even had a doctor in the cast. You know, they had a doctor from Nashville in this cast. So. I already said in Premiere, the football player, the retired football player from the Cowboys, he does really, really good. So if you like him, you can get behind him, and you're going to see him for a long, long time. Eddie, I think you'll like Ricard. He's an openly gay male. Him and his partner have a 6-week-old daughter that they adopted.
Oh, wow.
Good.
He is deaf in one ear.
Huh.
He knows sign language, so he's going to be a very interesting character for people to watch. I think fans will like him. The lady, I'm trying to think of it now, lady that works in the grocery store, people are probably going to like her, kind of like they liked Elaine, you know, down to earth, just common person. There does appear to be a bigger diversity in the cast so far. With minorities. I mean, we're seeing Asians, blacks, gays. It's a big, big change as to what they usually do.
Looks like we have a few Canadians on this cast too.
So far there are two from Toronto. They did not know each other, so now, once you're out there and if you tell people, hey, I'm from, you know, you may end up being friends, but they did not know each other going in. And sometimes that happens. As crazy as it sounds, sometimes you get cast for somebody you know, but they did not know each other. I'm trying to think of her name, the black female. It's weird because she's a comedian and a pastor. I thought that was kind of a crazy combination. But she's good. If you like her, get behind her because she's going to be good.
Jim, so you're telling me the Cowboys have a chance of winning something for the first time in years?
I'm telling you, this dude lost a hell of a lot of weight. I mean, he went in very muscular and come home tiny.
Tim, take that for what you will, especially for those who
I'm
look
not
at
saying,
weight loss.
I'm not saying he won. I'm not saying he won. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's going to be around a long, long time, but I'm not saying he won. Keep your eye on that black female. Keep your eye on her, too.
I just had to get my shot in at the Cowboys while I could.
I doubt anybody's going to recognize him. I didn't recognize him. I didn't. You know, when I found out who he was, I was like, he played at the NFL? For who? Who is this? I didn't know him. Steve, did you know him?
No, I never
No,
heard
but
of
that's
him.
Because that's because he's a special teamer. So I barely know anybody on special teams unless they're from the Patriots. So
hey guys, this has been fun, but I can't keep my eyes open any longer, so I'm gonna call it.
Okay.
Good night, honey.
Yeah.
Night,
night.
Night, Teresa.
Good night, Teresa.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Elizabeth.
Good night, Ben.
Good night, Jim Bob.
Yeah.
Good night,
Elizabeth. Sounds like you was to clean that show.
I used to go by Jim Bob a long time ago.
My dad's name is Jim Bob. That's his name.
But,
Jim Bob.
From everything I've heard, Eddie, it's a shortened season. You know, only 29 days. The cycle, instead of every 3 days, will be every 2 days. But from what I've heard, it is very, very grueling. In the challenges, very, very physical. So it's probably going to be pretty fun to watch.
I can't wait.
And Melissa, I don't think, you know, I've asked that name you gave me, and I don't think they're in the cast.
Okay. That's fine.
I wish they were, but I don't think they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just thinking that at some point, since they did make the finals, at some point one of them might get in, but.
Yeah. Well, that's the unfortunate thing.
That was a while ago.
That's the unfortunate thing. A lot of people make finals and don't get on. I've helped a lot of people in their auditions and got them in with Jody and all this and that, and very few of them make it all the way. I mean, Callie did, RC did, Carrie got there and didn't make it. Kelly got there and didn't make it. Jason got there and didn't make it. Dusty got there and didn't make it. A lot of them get to the finals and they just don't make it.
Yeah.
You know, they tell them, you know, keep applying or we'll call you back. And Caitlin, I forgot about her. She's made finals. a lot of people I worked with made finals, and RC and Allie made it on.
Well, I can't wait to see if Andrew's girls get in.
If who gets in?
Andrew Savage's girls.
Oh, she should. She's got everything. She's athletic. She's beautiful. She's got the bloodline. Either one of their daughters should get in if they want to.
Yep.
Same with Benner's son.
Yeah.
They, you know, when they did the blood versus water, they wanted Penner and his son. And Cooper was had just left and was starting college at Brown University, so they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think Ava even wants to have nothing to do with it. But Cooper was going to do it, and Penner would have done it with him, but he was in college.
Yeah.
Jim, I hate to go a little off topic here, but you remember that story that you told us about Shaquille O'Neal having to go to a Boston store to find
right.
his own jersey?
Right.
Well, tonight I've been watching while we were doing the show tonight. I've been watching the pregame show for NBA on TNT, and he literally, I shit you not, he walked into the studio with a new suit jacket with the damn tag still on it.
That
like
was such a funny story, Steve, because I mean we met Shaq through, you know, Shannon Elkins. Shannon and his family knew him from, you know, when Shaq was at, you know, at LSU down in Louisiana. Somehow they met, they became friends. I've got pictures of Shaq over at their house with the kids and all that kind of stuff. But Shannon hooks me up with him, and of course I do the spoiler where I'm releasing cast names, and I release Shannon's name, and of course Shaq retweeted it and said thanks to Miss Mia E for naming my boy Shannon Elkins on this season's Survivor, and it, you know, it really pissed off Jeff Probst. He hated that because Shaq's got so many damn followers, you know. But the thing about the jersey, it's funny, and Christopher's got it in a frame now. He doesn't wear it, and he's got it framed. Him and Christopher used to play against each other online on that damn video game called Guitar Hero. You know, I don't know if anybody remembers that, but you had to play a song, and Christopher and Shaq would play against each other. And I remember it was so funny one time, Shaq sent a video bragging about how good he did, and I thought he did really good, and then Christopher watched and he said, "Dad, he's playing on beginner. Look, he's on beginner." And so Christopher messaged him back and says, "Dude, you're playing on beginner. Grow up." And so anyway, then we get to Christopher wanting a jersey, and this was his last season with the Celtics. He was number 36, Steve. I know you remember that.
Yep.
And Shaq, he had an apartment. He had an apartment there in Boston, you know, during the season. And he told Christopher, he said, I don't even have none of my jerseys here. I'll get one from the garden." So then he messages back and he's like, "Dude, they're out at the garden. I'm going to have to go find one somewhere." And he said he went to three different good stores in Boston first two were sold out, and he finally found one in the third store, and Shaq has to go in and buy his own damn jersey. And he said, can you believe how funny they thought that was? I was in there buying my own jersey. bought it for Chris Pretty, autographed it, and then we met him at a Grizzlies game in Memphis, and Chris forgot the jersey. So, and it was funny because Chris was telling his friends, you know, I'm talking to Shaquille O'Neal, and Shaq's going to give me, of course, all his friends were like, oh, he's so full of shit, you know, just cut this shit out. And then when he shows up with the jersey that Shaq signed to Chris, they were like, holy cow, man.
Yeah, but I just saw him, when I saw him walk into the studio, the video they showed with him wearing a suit that still had the damn tag on it, like he just bought it. That's the first thing I thought.
Yeah, that's funny. You thought, yeah, I remember when you had to go buy your old jersey.
And he looked so casual, too.
Steve's in the eighth inning, Hogs without their cleanup hitter, lead Vandy 6-4. Over Rocker, and Kevin Copps is in the eighth inning.
Yeah, I was watching it earlier. What's it called? Before you came on, actually, they were down early 2-0 to
right.
Vanderbilt before they ended up. Vanderbilt ended up hitting one of their guys with the bases loaded. I forget who it was that got hit in the head, but. One of the Razorbacks got hit in the head walking in the runner from third.
Yeah. Well, they're up 6-4 now, two outs in the eighth.
Double elimination, too.
Yeah, no matter who loses tonight, they're not out of it. But, of course, you want to win, you know, to stay in that winner's bracket.
Yeah,
and they're down to Kevin Copps, and normally that's a good thing.
Yeah, only four more.
You know, all these closers. Oh, struck him out. There goes the eighth inning. Damn, he throws a filthy slider. That is just unhittable. You can't hit that. So he's got one inning left. What I was going to say, Steve, is I keep waiting on him. You know, all the closers, no matter how good they are, they're going to blow a game here or there. And I've waited all season for him to do that, and he just don't do it.
Yeah. Hey, if he has a good spin rate, I'm sure Heim Bloom will be interested in him in the draft.
Lord have mercy. I would draft him as a starter. I would try to make him a starter. And but I mean, he's proven, Steve, in relief he can go 4 or 5 innings back-to-back nights. So maybe he could start. I don't know. But if he can't,
yeah, but what?
He's a hell of a closer.
Yeah, but what it's just like the thing is though, whatever they end up doing, if whoever ends up getting them, you know, they don't want to have a Daniel Bard situation where you
right.
don't flip flop it basically.
But the Hogs handled Rocker.
Well, that'll just mean that he'll slip even further on the mock draft. Gives the Sox more of an opportunity
they've done it so far tonight, Steve, without their leading RBI man and cleanup hitter because he's injured.
And I did see Opitz get a runner out at, I think it was at third, actually, caught stealing.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good. He's the only college catcher I know that calls his own game. He calls the pitches. Dave Van Horn doesn't call them. Opitz calls the pitches.
Yeah, I'm still stunned he didn't get drafted.
Yeah, me too. And I'm
absolutely
stunned he didn't make
stunned.
It at least second team all SEC too. I understand not making first team because the catcher at Florida led the league in homers. So you know he's going to get that because of his hitting. But I can't tell you how many defensive plays I've seen this guy make, balls in the dirt. I mean, the Razorback pitchers, they don't mind throwing balls down deep in the dirt because they know he's going to block them. So, anyway, anybody got anything else they want to bring up? You want to talk more about 41 or maybe a suggestion about a future show we should do? We've done males, females, and seasons. Should we do favorite twist or favorite moments?
I think favorite moments would be better than favorite twists.
Yeah, I don't think many fans like
favorite villains and top villains and top heroes.
There you go. That's good, Eddie.
Yeah, I like that, Eddie.
That would be cool.
I like that, the villains and heroes.
I like that.
I thought I would do what we did in Whispers before, but it's I don't think people would really want to do that now. But we did. In Whispers, a couple of times when Sam was there, he was kind of in charge of it. We did hottest male, hottest female, but I'm not sure that you know, you guys would want to go that direction.
I don't know if I'd have 10 for guys. I really don't.
Oh, my God.
Kansas.
I'm being
Kansas.
Honest. I could pick 10 hot girls, but
Kansas,
I really don't think I could pick 10
Kansas,
hot guys.
Kansas, I can hear your top 10 males right now. Number 10, Michael. Number 9, Michael. Number 8, Michael. Number
Michael.
7, Michael.
All of them.
No,
all
there's
all
a
of
few
them.
Others. Michael would be at the top, but there's definitely several others that I thought were really cute.
Yeah. So I didn't know if you'd want to go that direction, so I didn't bring that up. But I think
I like the heroes and villains one. I think that
I like that. I like that too. Heroes and villains. I like that because and here it would be a good debate because just for example, somebody should bring up Rob as a hero or a villain.
Right.
Yeah.
He could be.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it would be a great debate. It would be good. So, Steve, let's do that. The next 2 weeks, we'll do heroes 1 week and villains 1 week.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to start out with?
Let's do the heroes first, and then we'll do villains.
Okay.
And if Russell Hanson ain't in the top 10 on villains, I'm going to fire every one of you.
No kidding. Him and Johnny Fairplay for sure should be getting top 10.
What if I don't want to put Russell on the list out of spite?
Russell has to be there. Fairplay has to be there.
Colton has to be there.
Yeah.
Colton has to be there. And that's another one.
Richard Hatch
has
to be on.
Richard Hatch. Richard Hatch. Is he a hero or a villain?
Oh, he's definitely a villain.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fun, Steve. I think that's going to be fun in the next 2 weeks.
All right. Well, I'll set it for next Thursday then, and we'll do villains the Thursday after that. Then I'm assuming we're keeping it on Thursday, right?
Yeah, keep it on Thursday.
Okay.
And we get closer and closer and closer to Big Brother, and Melissa and Steve's pods, and then Survivor 41.
That'll be
so
cool.
Real quick, by the way, for any of my listeners who may listen to this, who listen to the sports pod, More than likely, there will be a podcast this week, but because I'm getting the second COVID shot, I've heard it can be anywhere up to 12 hours potentially after the shot that I may experience side effects. So it's possible that I might not have a show, but I'm planning on as of now, doing so this Saturday.
That's probably a night you don't want to be drinking, Steve.
Oh, no, I'm not going to be drinking, no. It'll be Monday that I'll be drinking. With that being Memorial Day and all.
All right.
Yeah. Speaking of, what
now
is everyone doing for Memorial Day?
Give us some tidbit for 41 before we cut off.
What did you say about 41, Eddie?
Give us something before we get cut off. Give us something.
Well, I already told you somebody's going to do, I already told you two that are going to do good. One that's going to be pre-jury. And I told you the challenges are going to be very physical. And the season's going to be shorter. A two-day cycle. The pre-jury, you know, normally they go on a trip, you know, when the jury takes over.
Uh-huh.
They didn't do that this time. They sent them back home, sent them back to the States. Told you about the doctor and Ricard. There's a guy on there that Candace will like a hot. She'll like him.
We'll see.
You will. You'll like him. You'll like him. And hey, the gay guy would probably be considered a hottie. He's a good looking guy. Told you about the one that's going to probably remind you of Elaine. Evie, kind of a nerd, smart.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun season.
Three tribes with six players on each tribe, 18 players in the cast. All newbies.
Oh, I like that.
Is one of the tribes like the is like basically a total disaster.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a really good question, Tim. That was really good.
Yeah, thank you. Because it's I feel like in the three tribe seasons, there's always that one tribe that's just a complete disaster.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
I think you might want to ask that. That was good.
Yeah. So I take it once we see the first tribe to lose, we can probably expect that tribe to keep losing.
Well, you know, you're going to eventually merge it into two. You know, when they with three, they're going to always merge it into two. So
exactly. But until that.
Right. So you can fully expect that. I mean, that's really not a spoiler anymore. That's kind of common sense.
Yeah. The only season where they didn't really have, like, a tribe that was a total disaster on the three tribes was probably Worlds Apart.
Yeah. Yeah. From what I hear, Jeff really liked the season, really excited by it. I don't know if it's because they were off for so long, or it was just that great of a season, or maybe a combination of both, you know.
Uh-huh.
But Kansas, I know you're a Big Brother fan. The guy that does the casting for Survivor, comes on with yep. these really cool cast. He's now casting for Big Brother, too.
See, this should be probably one of the best casts in a long time, I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Because somebody
that's
good,
what,
somebody
that,
different
that's what I've been,
the casting, that, yes.
That's what I've been telling Big Brother fans. In my opinion, it's going to be a good cast because Jesse's doing it instead
yep.
of Robin. You know?
I'm so happy about that.
I can tell you I have not heard back from them yet. So I'm guessing I probably
really?
Won't get on. Yeah.
Wow. He's good. Jesse is really, really good. They even use him on Amazing Race, too. They use him on all three of the big shows on CBS.
I'm expecting Big Brother to be really good this coming season.
I'm thinking that our first podcast should be right before the premiere, after they come out with the whole cast and they have the videos and everything that people can watch, and then
you
get
talking about Big Brother,
ideas
Melissa?
On, huh?
You talking about Big Brother?
Uh huh.
Yeah, after it's officially announced and
mm-hmm.
you got the videos and all that stuff, yeah, that's when you should have your first podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Gives everybody a chance to look at the videos and get to know everybody.
Right.
And that way you know what you're talking about.
And then
about.
I'm gonna take a thing from Masked Singer and say, all right, everybody, you tell me who you think is gonna win, and I'm gonna write it down.
Please don't say who won Masked Singer because it didn't tape last night. So
Melissa,
I don't want to know. Please don't tell me.
Melissa, we do that on Survivor every season.
First impressions.
Normally I let people watch an episode or two and then give me three names that you think is going to be in the finals, and we see how
mm-hmm.
we do at the end
that
of the season.
That's fun. I like when we do that for Survivor. That'd be cool to do that for Big Brother.
Yeah.
Who our favorites were and who
too.
We think might make it to the top three. That's always fun.
Uh-huh.
See how
yeah.
we do at
yeah.
the end.
Yeah.
And,
just
and Jim writes it down.
Yeah.
And then he lets
just
us know what we did later.
Every week you can say, okay, Kansas, you lost another one this week.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey,
I was almost
real.
Thinking of doing a favorite or the best big male Big Brothers. And the best female, well, kind of like we're doing with Survivor, but then, I don't know.
Hey, Steve.
I don't know.
Yeah, we can play around with it. That's fun.
Yeah. Kevin Copps, ninth inning, two strikeouts and a ground out. Hogs win 6-4.
Yeah, I just thought now on the SEC Network.
The yeah, Phillies won today.
This guy.
Well,
listen,
today,
honestly,
so
the majority of the time, my first picks are always so wrong.
But you know the thing about it, Kansas,
always
you,
so
you
wrong.
Get to pick,
always.
If you get to pick two or three, you can have two of them not make it, and as long as you pick the winner, you still could win.
I don't think I've ever picked a winner.
I'm
favorite from the get-go,
favorite.
And they disappointed me so badly.
Yeah, I
always pick my favorites, and normally my favorites don't do good. Lately on Survivor, I've gotten really lucky. But on Big Brother, I don't ever get lucky.
I think my picks have been
better with Survivor than Big Brother.
I did pretty well my picks.
Okay, real quickly, Kansas. Who do you think the people are on Masked Singer? Who do you think is the chameleon?
Oh gosh. See, the ones
do you have
that,
any?
I probably don't because the ones that I knew are already out.
Okay. All right.
All right, folks, we got about a minute and a half left. Get your final
thoughts. Last week with Donnie, though, was that the best? When he, shocked the hell out of his wife and she fell off her chair? She didn't even know it was her husband? That was crazy. Yeah. The whole time he was on, she hated him. She's like, I hate this cuckadoodle, do whatever his stupid name was. I can't stand him.
But
it was,
you know,
so
what?
Funny.
I suspected it was him. I did.
Did you?
I suspected it was, yes.
Do you think that was real or they staged it?
Oh, that was real. She had no clue at all. I mean, she was shocked. She fell on the floor. I mean, she was just like flabbergasted. And she felt stupid.
Yeah,
she said, I
good,
can't
though.
Believe I didn't know my own husband. She said, I'm going to get so much grief because of this.
Yeah.
But she did not know Jim.
Okay. All right.
And I knew all the final.
I didn't see it. That's the reason I asked. I didn't see it.
That was amazing.
We're down to about 45 seconds. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
For tuning in, please come back next week where we're going to talk about the top 10 heroes in Survivor. They can be males, they can be females. That's going to make it even more interesting.
Oh, I like that they can be females too. Okay, I thought it was just going to be guys. There's definitely female heroes for sure.
Yeah, the crossover is going to make it even more interesting.
I love that. That's cool.
And
there's female villains, too, so that works out great.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Female or female.
So, good night,
everybody.
Make sure you're here next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks a lot.
Good night.